The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today I have a smorgasbord of questions. I've been asked quite a bit of them in the office and realized that, hey, if you're asking me while we're in the office, then you're probably not the only one, and tons of other people have these questions. So we're going to talk a little bit about kombucha, fermented food. Talks shortly on probiotics. I've touched base on it before, but just kind of the thought process of probiotics. We are going to talk about antacids, antacid medication, a little bit more about that. People who constantly pop Tums, what we think about that, reasons why. But just general questions. I know that you guys have had a ton of them, and I encourage them. If you're listening and you've had a question that's been burning on your mind that you want to have answered, shoot us an email. I would love to be able to answer it on air. It's info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Simple, but long. If you ever want to know consultation, to go through a little bit more what's going on with you, how we may be able to help, just come in. Initial exam and consultation is $25. You can either schedule it online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Let us know that you came from the radio, so your initial exam and consultation is $25, or you can call us. Again, that's 317-893-2853. Now, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, what do? We really look at the five essentials, right? And when we look at the five essentials, we have to look at nutrition, your nervous system, detoxification, oxygen and lean muscle, mindset, you know, the events that we have in the office. We do pretty consistently. So whether it be blood sugar regulation, stress less, hormone rebalance, gut reboot, right? Just looking in a deeper sense of how do we actually get to the root cause of problems? I just tell people we don't take anyone off of medication. But what's amazing is when they go back to their doctor and their doctor says, well, oh my goodness, doesn't look like you need this anymore, because their body is functioning better and it's healing better. And you get down to the root cause of why things are happening. You know, it's such a big deal that oftentimes we just kind of mask symptoms, right? I.e. heartburn. It's just those things that you look at and you're like, huh. I wonder if there's causation to that. You know, I wonder all of these over-the-counters, if they are necessary. So that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. It's a whole body approach. It looks at wellness. It allows us to see a little bit more in depth and in detail what's going on as an individual. And then if it's something we can help with. You know, I was talking to a team member today, and they said, well, do you think we can help so-and-so? And the answer really was, I don't know, let's see. Because, you know, if we need to refer them out, then we will. And we'll send them out. We know our time and our place and what we're good at and what we can help with. So, but to get that opinion to see if it is something we can help with, I think is always great. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Now, before we get into answering some questions today, I've got some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
today's What We Aren't Eating Is Killing Us, a global study finds. What we aren't eating is killing us, global study finds. So which risk factors is responsible for more death around the world than any other? Not smoking, not even high blood pressure. It's poor diet. In many countries, poor diet now causes more death than tobacco smoking and high blood pressure, according to assistant professor of the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation of the University of Washington. And it's not just that people are choosing unhealthy options, but what they're finding is that there's a lack of healthy food in our diets, along with very high levels of salt. While traditionally all of the conversations about healthy diet has been focused on lower intake of unhealthy foods, in this study, we have shown that at the population level, a low intake of healthy food is the more important factor rather than a high intake of unhealthy foods. Right? It's kind of crazy to think about when you're like, well, that food's not unhealthy, but you're like, but is it healthy? And you're like, because you think like it's black or white. This is health food or unhealthy food. Unhealthy food, I should say, right? The large studies, here we go. 1 in 5 deaths globally, that's about 11 million people in 2017, occurred because of too much sodium, lack of whole grains, fruits, nuts, seeds, the study found, rather than a diet packed with trans fat, sugar sweetened drinks, and high levels of processed meat. The study size means that these findings are relevant to everyone, no matter where they live. The findings of the paper will inform policy decisions that shape what food is available in Western countries, how it's marketed, and potentially what it costs in the upcoming year. So in this analysis, it looked at 15 dietary risk factors and their impact on death and disability. High levels of unhealthy red, that's important, unhealthy red, and processed meats, sugar-sweetened beverages, trans fatty acids, and salt, all known to be health risks, were compared with the effects of low diet nutrition in many healthy foods. Those health foods include fruits, vegetables, whole grain, milk, calcium, nuts and seeds, fiber, legumes or beans, omega-3 fatty acid from seafood, and polyunsaturated fats, the good-for-you fats found in salmon and nuts and seeds. Except salt, which is a key risk factor in most countries, the study found that processed meats, trans fats, and sugary drinks towards the bottom of the risk for most. In fact, more than half of all global diet related to death in 2017 were due to 3 risk factors: eating too much salt, not eating enough whole grains, and not eating enough fruit. Those risks held true regardless of socioeconomic levels of most nations. So they go on to talk about how when you're looking at diet, again, in terms of obesity, interestingly, obesity was not a top tier contributor, coming in 6th for the list of global risks in terms of disease. Cardiovascular, 10 million diet-related deaths in 2017 were from cardiovascular disease, right? So think about this, diet-related deaths. They're not saying, oh my goodness, this poor nutrition caused you to pass away. They're saying 10 million people had diet-related deaths were from cardiovascular disease. Cancer was responsible for 913. Type 2 diabetes, which is 100% nutrition, lifestyle, diet-related, accounted for 339,000 deaths. They said, in addition, 66% of disabilities in 2017 from a range of chronic conditions were due to those 3 factors, obesity not being one of those 3. It's crazy. So they're literally saying diet-related deaths in 2017, 10 million were from cardiovascular, 10 million deaths were related to diet, nutrition. You know, but we see this, and sometimes we say, oh, it just runs in my family, just runs in my family. I was talking to my mom about this. You know, because on her side of the family, cardiovascular disease is rampant. It's taken tons of people's lives. And she's like, you need to be careful. And I said, but this is where, when you look at tons of research, it talks about how a lot of degenerative diseases, just like this, 2 to 5% are actually genetic, which leads to be that 95 to 98% is lifestyle. The analogy, and it's not the best analogy, but it's the most effective. They always say it's like genes load the gun. Lifestyle is what pulls the trigger, right? Something has to turn on and off that gene expression. And so when you're looking at that, it's like oftentimes we feel immobilized, right? Like we're stricken with this. Like it just runs in my family. No matter what I do, I'm going to get it. And statistically, that's not the truth. And even when you're looking at 10 million diet-related deaths in 2017 were from cardiovascular disease, from nutrition, what you very consciously choose to eat, what you put in your mouth. So just looking at like, how can we start making those changes more? And it's looking simply at, and this is where, you know, whenever we talk about these changes, we first and foremost have to talk about your big why. Your big why. Especially now when you're looking at like, hey, I want to make some changes. When push comes to shove, if you say, you know, my goal is to lose 10 pounds. And you're like, okay, that's awesome. Like, that's a great goal. Let's see how we can support it. You want to lose 10 pounds. Okay. So then you lose 10 pounds. Then what happens? Do you go back to having the ice cream and cheesecake and pizza? But there's typically a reason why you want to lose the 10 pounds. You know, I want to lose the 10 pounds because I know that I'll be more comfortable when I go outside and play at the park with my grandchild or my child or my niece or nephew, right? Or I want to lose that 10 pounds so I can start reversing the diabetes that I have. You know, because then here's what I see day in and day out is that if I were to ask every single adult human being, hey, who's mentally capable, which one's healthier, broccoli or a donut? Every single person is going to know that broccoli is healthier than a donut. Or if I say, like apple and donut or broccoli and french fries, like which one's healthier of a vegetable, french fries or broccoli? You know, like you know what to do, but then when push comes to shove and it's first thing in the morning, you're like, what should I have for breakfast? Well, should you have the apple or should you have the donut? You know, but you choose the donut. For lunch, should I have the steamed broccoli or should I have the french fries? You know, but you choose the french fries. And the reason being is that your big why isn't big enough, right? Because when it says, hey, when I reverse this diabetes, it's going to make it so that I can feel my feet so I can walk down the aisle with my daughter when she gets married in a year. That's a whole lot different, right? Your brain doesn't go to the 10 pounds. Your brain goes to that big why. Same thing. Hey, if you continue to keep feeding this disease process, cardiovascular, what killed 10 million people in 2017, and push comes to shove, right? And you say, hey, if you keep feeding this disease process, you're not going to be there in 10 years for your family. Hey, when you have this disease, you can't do the things that you want to do. You can't serve his purpose for you, right? We all have a race to win. Our purpose here on life, you know, if you're a Christian follower, like, hey, that body, it's not your own. You're borrowing it to serve a purpose for him. Are you serving it adequately? Or are you just saying, hey, it's not my deal? He literally was talking to a pastor, which, by the way, I'll tell you, my focus this year is speaking to people in the congregation, whether they work in the church, whether they're in the church. I'm telling you right now, if you are someone, I have three churches already in the next couple of months that we're going, and just talking about food by God, making those changes, setting up your big why, leading you through, having a plan. I would love to be the person who helps you. I want to be able to be the facilitator to help people serve that God-given potential. So if you ever want to reach out, you can shoot me an email at info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You can give the office a call. I'd love to chat with you and see what we can do to help. Because that's, you know, the number one thing in church that you see for people. What is it that people pray for? You know, and sometimes it's a motor vehicle accident. Yeah, sometimes it's this. You know, when I talk to pastors, do you know over 90% of their prayer requests are people who've lost their health, right? And it could be from heart disease, stroke, right? High blood pressure, cardiovascular disease. Hey, according to research, 10 million people had diet-related deaths in 2017 from cardiovascular disease, 913,000 from cancer, 339,000 from type 2 diabetes. Guys, diet-related. So we have to start thinking outside of the box and thinking, what is important to us? And then two, it's figuring out how do you surround yourself with the people to help you make the sustainable, long-term, real changes. And that's inevitably what our goal is at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. It's education. It's empowering. My goal is to have you so empowered that you know exactly what you're doing, how to do it, so that you can live the life that you dream of and you deserve to have, right? But we've got to treat our bodies well. Initial exam and consultation if you want more information. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can go online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, when we come back, that fizzy drink you heard of as kombucha, what about probiotics? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, I have had a lot of people ask me more recently about kombucha, which I'll tell you. So, all right. Let's break this down real quick. Adults, you'll be fine. You can drink it. My two-year-old literally calls it bucha. You know, if you've ever been around a two-year-old, you know that they are hilarious. And like they're learning whole new concepts still. So like he tried a little bit and he said, "Ooh, mom, this is spicy." I said, "No, it's not spicy, it's fizzy." He said, "No, mom, it's spicy." Like, oh, man. But he loves it. He said, "Mom, can I have some bucha? Can I have some bucha, please?" He calls it bucha. I'm like, I guess so. Now, what is kombucha, right? Because you've heard about it. And it's basically fermented tea. That's it, fermented tea. Literally, so I've made kombucha at my house. The hardest part about it is really finding a starter, which is like a SCOBY. A SCOBY, it's C-O-S-S-C-O-B-Y, SCOBY. And it stands for a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. S-C-O-B-Y, symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. And it's this little like slimy pancake looking thing. And you make sweet tea. You literally boil water. You put in some organic tea bags and some sugar. And the reason why you have to have the sugar is because the sugar is a catalyst for the fermentation process. You have to have that sugar to ferment. And then you basically put it in a cool, dark place, cover it. A couple weeks later, you come back, the sugar is all burned off, and you have plain kombucha. Doesn't really taste super awesome. I mean, it's not true. It tastes fine, but especially if you're used to having the ones at the store where they highly sweeten them, I think it's very interesting because of the fact that most of the ones that are store-bought are very sweet. I think it was like last winter, I had some sort of belly issue, the flu. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to put some good positive bacteria through there. And so I went and grabbed some from the store. And I was like, man, I feel like this like furry. My teeth are furry. And I said, gosh, this is kind of how it feels like if I ever have like regular conventional ice cream. And I'm like, well, that's from the sugar. And I looked back and I said, I wonder how much sugar is in here. And one container, like one glass that you would think we would just drink in one serving was two servings. And each serving had 8 grams of sugar. That's 16 grams of sugar is quite a bit. And when you look at it, it's what they added afterwards in order to flavor it, versus you can do like a second brew. When I did it myself, I literally just, like, my favorite was strawberry lemonade. So I would take strawberries and lemons and blast them up, and then you do like a short second brew, whatever. But that's what kombucha is. So the fermentation process produces acetic acid, also found in vinegar, and several other acidic compounds, trace levels of alcohol and gases that make it carbonated. So a large amount of bacteria also is allowed to grow in this mixture. And so it contains several species of lactic acid bacteria, which may help have a probiotic function. So think probiotic. Pro is four, right? Biotic is considered life. So it's pro-life. It makes sense, because if you think on the other side of the spectrum, you have antibiotic. Anti is against. Biotic is life. So it kills everything in there. And we know that antibiotics kills everything in there. So they talk about how probiotics provide your gut with healthy bacteria, which can improve aspects, including overall health, including digestion, inflammation, and even weight loss. So oftentimes, really, it's like a fizzy drink. Kombucha contains antioxidants, especially when made with green tea, appears to have several antioxidant effects in your liver. So they found that study in rats find that drinking kombucha regularly reduces liver toxicity caused by toxic chemicals, in some cases by at least 70%. Very, very cool. It talks about how kombucha can kill bacteria because of the vinegar, because of the acetic acid in it, which is also abundant in vinegar. Think about like the huge craze about apple cider vinegar and all of the health benefits that oftentimes comes with kombucha. Now, too, think about this. All of these, because it's fermented, it's vinegary. So it doesn't, like, it shouldn't be that sweet. It's more, you kind of have to address it a bit more. Again, kombucha made from black or green tea appears to have strong antibacterial properties, particularly against infection-causing bacteria and candida. You just have to be careful with candida, too, for someone who has candida or yeast, because that SCOBY, which is a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast, oftentimes, if not brewed properly or has additional sugar in it, will, on the flip side, feed candida more than it will kill it. So when we talk about in terms of probiotics, because we say, oh my goodness, right? I do kombucha because of all the positive probiotics. And I agree. That's why I do it too. Now, that being said, I do not take a capsulated probiotic. I don't. I wouldn't. And the more functional medicine organic acid tests that I do on individuals, if they are on a probiotic, surprisingly enough, I'll take them off. Which sounds kind of surprising, and let me tell you why. So here's the timeline that I typically see. Person has digestion issues. Person doesn't know what to do. Person gets on Google and Googles digestion issues. Google tells them to take probiotics. Person takes said probiotics. Sometimes they get better, sometimes they don't. But we continue on that same probiotic. When the bottle runs out, we said, hey, we did a lot of research, so I'm going to buy that again. And we continue to keep taking the same probiotic for years and years and years. We take the same strands of shelf-stable probiotics for years. Then what happens is we test, because things aren't getting better with said digestive system. And we look and we say, hey, remember those really great probiotics? You were over inoculated. You took a good thing and made it bad. And now we've got to kill off all of the bacteria in your gut and then re-inoculate it with just normal strands. So this is one where I really like fermented foods. I like getting my probiotic from fermented foods. Because here's the thing, typically in the average, even if you get like a full spectrum probiotic, you're looking at what, a couple billion, 100 billion, 200 billion, whatever, out of like 12 different strands. But do you know that there are tens of thousands of different strands of probiotics? Often some that they haven't even discovered yet, which is amazing, because look at how far in advance we are in all of these other scientific, like they just found out what, 5 years ago, what the, what your appendix does, right? Like forever they said, oh, it's not a big deal. You don't really need your appendix. Well, like, why does every person have it then? You know, that's saying, hey, you don't need, you don't know what a liver does. So do people really need it? Like, yeah, no, we do. There's a reason why it's there. Anyways, so there are strands that you've not even found. So what happens is we just focus over and over and over and over and over again. And then we do functional medicine testing and we're like, oh my goodness, you are massively over inoculated in that regard. So again, we have to figure out. So fermented foods, right? Some of the fermented foods, like what? Kombucha is one of them. Sauerkraut. P.S. by the way, I hate sauerkraut. So what I do is, because it's just easy. Sauerkraut's just easy. You just take a couple bites of it. You just get one that's literally cabbage, salt, and water. It's pretty non-offensive. You just take a couple bites. Easy, easy, easy. Dairy products, more specifically like kefir, miso soup, sourdough bread, pickles, kimchi, all really great fermented food. So this is one where if you're an individual who said, I started taking a probiotic and I got bloated, or if you're taking a probiotic and you're massively bloated, maybe you haven't associated it with that yet. Same thing, if you find more gas or diarrhea, again, what's likely happening is you're taking that probiotic and you're feeding more bacteria into a place that has too much bacteria. Like, stop it. So when you're looking at more of the fermentation process, when you talk about fermentation, there's tons of health benefits, improving digestion, suppressing H. pylori, has anti-cancerous effects on it. They actually found that there was a large cohort study in the Netherlands and Sweden that have observed the regular effect of consumption of fermented dairy in reducing the risk of bladder cancer, right? Enhances bioavailability of nutrients. So fermentation helps create new nutrients like B vitamins, folate, riboflavin, niacin, thiamine, biotin, which have all been shown to improve the availability, digestibility, and quantity of some dietary nutrients. Right? Reduces symptoms of lactose intolerance, right? Lactose is a sugar. If those sugar feed the bacteria. So, and it may be because the lactic acid bacteria in the milk causes an increase of lactase in the small intestines. So what they're finding is that helps with that. Helps treat hepatic disease, improves arthritic symptoms. They found that a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled pilot study of probiotics in active rheumatoid arthritis patients found that patients with at least 4 swollen and 4 tender joints in stable medication with no steroids for at least 1 month prior to and during the study showed a significant improvement in their health assessment questionnaire score after 3 months of increasing fermented probiotic treatment. Treats inflammatory bowel. A lot of these you can make at home if you really want to buy it. Some of it I'm like, I don't have time for that. Like all of my kombuchas that I had that I was making, man, I tell you what, I had a system, I had a cycle, I rotated. The SCOBYs have babies, they like grow and then you can peel it off and hand them to your friends. Like so great. I had like 3 or 4 batches going and then I had kids. So I'm like, nope. So really you want to make sure if you're buying typical kombucha that you make sure it has a really low sugar content. So I think the lowest that I've seen per serving is like 2 to 3 grams. So pay attention to that. That is really, really important. Especially if you've got, if you're doing fermentation and you want to see those benefits, make sure that there's not a massive added sugar in there because it's going to undo all the benefits of why you're doing it to begin with, right? So kombucha is great. Fermented food's where it's at. It's hard to massively overdose on food because, I mean, even if you do a ton of kefir or even if you do a ton of kraut, I feel like you'd have to do a ton of it, like maybe poundage is of it if you wanted to see the over inoculation like we see with probiotics. So now when we return, popping a pill for every ill, more specifically heartburn, talk more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Everything comes alive.
You've got questions? We've got answers. Greenwood Family Chiropractic. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. If you ever have any questions, I mean, I always wonder if people think that this is interesting or if they're like, oh, hey, you know, what are we going to hear about today? Heartburn, Tums, and fermented food. You know, the good thing about it being my show is I can talk about whatever I want to, but I would like to talk about things that you guys would want to hear. So if you ever wanted to offer any, like if you want to email and say, hey, I would love if we heard more about this or that, depending on what it is, I'd love to be able to integrate in the show. We've been doing the show now for 7 years. 7 years. Which blows my mind. And I still have stuff to talk about, but I'd love to talk about what you want to hear. So shoot me an email, info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You can always hop on Facebook, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, and you can send us a message on there as well. Yeah, but I'd love to hear your thought processes. I'm more for it. If you've got questions, figure out what we can do and we'll run with some answers. Now, I had a question more recently. A couple patients asked me, hey, you know what? You know, I've had to take antacids over the counter. My family does. I had someone who said literally my in-laws were in town and they were popping Tums like they were candy, you know? And I feel like we've been taught for a very, very long time, like it's not a big deal because it's, you know, it's calcium and it's going to help, you know, more strong bones. But here's when you have to look at, can you take too many Tums or antacids? This answer comes from Dr. J.W. Marks, who's an MD, right? And he said there are side effects from taking too many antacids. The least important side effects are constipation, which happens more often with aluminum-containing antacids, and diarrhea, which happens from magnesium-containing antacids. Large amounts of calcium carbonate-containing antacid, for example, Tums, can affect the balance of calcium and acid in the body and damage your kidneys. Calcium-containing antacids can also stimulate acid secretion, even though initially they neutralized acid. Stimulation of acid would not be good for the conditions usually treated with antacids. In patients with kidney problems, aluminum from the aluminum-containing antacids can accumulate in the body. The accumulated aluminum may be toxic. Right? He said, having said all of this, daily use can be considered safe. So it's like, hey, if you have kidney problems, no big deal. But I mean, if you have kidney problems, that's a huge deal. But if you don't have kidney problems, your body should filter out all the heavy metal aluminum, which was interesting to me because, I mean, I know a lot. We've talked a bunch about proton pump inhibitors, omeprazole, the dangers of what that does for you. But think about this. It makes sense. If you're taking something to stop the production of acid in your stomach, but your stomach needs a specific acid in order to digest foods, it would make sense that your body has this innate checks and balances called homeostasis, where it says, hey, if you're in or increasing the pH, right? You're making it more neutral, where this is an environment that's supposed to be acidic, then it's going to say, hey, we should probably, this is not where we're supposed to be. Like, why don't we should probably put in some more acid, right? Which would be counterintuitive if you're taking it to reduce the amount of acid. So when you look at, in terms of acid reflux, what's interesting is that those things though, it's kind of like, hi, you have back pain and you take a Tylenol. You feel good for a while, but guess what comes right back? The back pain. Because the cause of the back pain wasn't a lack of Tylenol. Just like the acid reflux indigestion isn't a result of a lack of Tums. Right? So why is that the solution? So Contrary to popular belief, acid reflux symptoms are not caused by too much acid in the stomach. In fact, they're now starting to believe that many cases are actually caused by low stomach acid. So acid reflux is caused by acid rising up into the esophagus, the tube that connects the mouth to the throat. As acid enters the esophagus because of a leaky valve, there's a variety of reasons that this can happen, but the esophageal valve that connects the esophagus to the stomach, so like mouth, you swallow, it goes into your esophagus, drops into your stomach, doesn't shut properly, and then those juices sneak up. So they're finding more and more risk factors of why, right? So like, why are you having this? And one, they're finding that inflammation could be the base of this, right? We talked at the very beginning of this, how there's all of these diet-related, lack of nutrient-related deaths that lead to cardiovascular disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes. And a lot of those foods also cause underlying inflammation. So studies have found that high levels of inflammation are linked to the development of GERD, or acid reflux, because they cause tissue damage and function of the esophagus. So hiatal hernia, that's another cause for acid reflux, carbohydrate metabolism, underdeveloped digestive system. This is more so in babies. H. pylori, this is another one. If you have severe acid reflux stomach pain, oftentimes a doctor will test you for H. pylori, which is an infection that can actually lead to gastritis, an inflammatory disease of the gastric mucosa within the stomach. So pregnancy, if you've been pregnant, my baby's going to have so much hair. I'll tell you what, my first one didn't have a whole lot. In the last like couple of weeks, I had heartburn. My second one, I had no heartburn at all. And that kid was full of hair. Also, if you followed all of like the stereotypical, like you get sick, it steals your, what are they called? Not like the stereotypes, but wives tales, the old wives tales. Like my little boy should be a girl because all of that. Obesity. Right. So pregnancy pushes up. Obviously your organs are massively displaced. Larger meals, smoking cigarette, certain medications, including ibuprofen, some blood pressure prescriptions, antibiotic, aspirin, muscle relaxers, iron supplements can aggravate reflux symptoms. Excessive exercise, magnesium deficiency. This is huge. As we go through some more functional medicine testing in the office, what is very interesting is looking at the level of magnesium deficiency that comes in the average person, right? So there's a lot of reasons why you can have that. But again, we're saying, hey, we're going to mask it. You know, we've got proton pump inhibitors, omeprazole, which they've linked to all sorts of... H2 blockers, which because there's really two types in terms of like antacid medication, like Tums can give quick relief, matter of minutes, but side effects of those antacids are diarrhea, constipation, calcium loss, osteoporosis, kidney stones, wrist and ankle swelling, bone pain, aluminum toxicity, slow breathing, frequent urination, headaches, muscle pain. Right, so you have all of these like things that you're like, oh, I'm just getting older. And you're like, are you getting older? Is it because you're taking a ton of Tums? But they're finding too that chronic low stomach acid. So every time you take an antacid, you're contributing more to this problem. And prolonged can actually be associated with vitamin deficiencies, more specifically B12, autoimmune conditions, asthma, diabetes, chronic fatigue, tons of other disorders when you're looking at that comes from a research from the New England Journal of Medicine, gastroesophageal reflux disease, right? So what if we could just do things differently, right? Like what if we test for those things to make sure, like, do you have H. pylori, C. diff? Are you a smoker? Are you doing these things? And then too, like what can we do to change that? And first and foremost, what you've got to do is change your diet, right? It gets back to simply this, is that nutrition is a huge component of life. Nutrition or diet, I should say, you know, because sometimes nutrition is lack of nutrition. So diet can be lack of nutrition. it can contribute to disease process. Why would this be excluded from that? And so when you're looking at, hey, if you have acid reflux, some of the things you want to minimize are artificial sweeteners, which is ironic because in almost every single one of those acid reflux reduction, like Tums, comes with sucralose. You know, it's artificial sweeteners that they have in there. Fried food, bad oils, vegetable oil, including canola oil, processed food, alcohol, carbonated beverages, sugary drinks. That includes energy drinks, right? Like, you have to start eating food that helps tame it a little bit, right? One thing that you can do that is helpful for a lot of people is you can take digestive enzymes. You'll look at one or two of high-quality digestive enzymes at the start of each meal. So the enzymes help break down food better and absorb nutrients more properly. That being said, our body naturally creates digestive enzymes. So oftentimes people will take them for years. I don't necessarily recommend that because then your body stops creating those digestive enzymes. It's just more of like a short term. Again, if we find that, hey, you know what? A deficiency in magnesium might cause acid reflux. Well, why don't we look and address magnesium deficiencies, right? So those are ones of putting in a proper amount of magnesium into your diet and nutrition protocol. Chamomile, papaya, or ginger teas. Teas are really, really great. Chamomile helps with reduction of inflammation in the digestive tract. Papaya enzyme is huge. That's the one thing that is oftentimes recommended when pregnancy with women is papaya enzyme because it's safer to do while pregnant. But think about that. Apple cider vinegar is another really great one. Because vinegar is naturally acidic, it will naturally work with the pH in your stomach. So it helps with candida overgrowth. So you can add that to your water. I personally tell people to be careful with just taking shots of it because it's acidic. And so you don't necessarily want it to burn. But I'll put it in a little bit of water with a couple drops of liquid stevia and it tastes just like apple cider. It's delicious. But all of that being said, like you can do palliative things, the teas and the magnesium and the vinegar, but if your nutrition is poor, you can't outdo that with supplements. You just can't. You have to start making some long-term sustainable nutrition changes. It's incredibly important. You have to start making changes. And that is always what we want to be a part of with you and for you. I think one of the greatest blessings that I get to do in the office that we get to do as a team is be alongside of people through their health journeys. Sometimes that health journey is pain-based. Sometimes it's through nutrition, right? Like whatever your goals are, we want to be there to help support you in them. And that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. You can sit down, ask questions. We can see how we can help you best, but really go through what it is that your goals are and if we're the right place for you. You can schedule it online as well at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully you've got a bit of knowledge and information that you can be proactive with not only your health, but the health of your family. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.